tonight. I may go off script today, just feeling led to do that. We continue in this series, Blessed to Bless. There's six messages. This is the fourth. Next week will be Serving Like Jesus. This is Eating Like Jesus. Serving Like Jesus will be next Sunday, and then the final one, I can't remember the title, but it's coming, number six. I want you to think of times in your life where maybe it was a tradition when you were growing up. Maybe it's something that you do now as a family or as an individual around eating. Okay? Now, it doesn't have to be something gross like I ate 87 hot dogs in 1 hour. No, like, what's the guy's name? He's a race car driver. Somebody knows. Fleet, no. Joey. Nobody knows the hot dog champion? Yeah, the food competition. Who's the guy who eats all the hot dogs? Yeah, Chestnut? No. Jerry, yeah. Isn't he a race car driver as well? Anyway, he's famous for something, eating hot dogs. Yeah, like 87 in 10 minutes. I don't know what he does. But think about that around your own families or maybe traditions you're growing up. I'm going to come out into the audience. What? Yes, I am. And we'll use this mic, Cindy, when I'm ready here. Okay, I don't know when that's going to be yet. So the text is from Matthew 9. You're going to see where Jesus was eating with some folks. Let's take a look at that, and then we'll keep going. We're talking about breaking bread together. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us that comes to us as a gift. And Lord God, we ask by your Spirit, through your word, that you'd speak to us this morning and what it means to eat like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me share a song. We could actually maybe title this passage, Feasting with a Friend of Sinners. Feasting with a Friend of Sinners. Casting Crowns wrote a song with the title Friend of Sinners, and here it goes. And then I'm going to ask if one person has maybe something they want to share. I know Mary will probably want to share. I know you, Mary. Okay. Maybe somebody else wants to share. But I'm going to read this first. Here's the words of the song, and then we'll see if anybody wants to brave it. Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world. At the end of our pointing fingers, let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Good words. I think hard words in some sense. That we're caught up with the world and the worldly things in this culture, and we sometimes lose focus on what's important of loving God and loving our neighbors. Anybody want to share yet about a tradition that they had eating? And we'll weave that in somehow. And if you don't say it, I'm going to have to share stuff in my own life. My mother was always one that said, "Oh, Mark wants to do good. Why don't you go first, then I'll save mine." Okay. Low battery. This is good. I know. you're off the hook. So we'll just change the battery as I talk here. Heather is my rescuer. She always comes up with the new battery. We'll wait for you. Maybe some others want to share about eating. Does anybody like to eat? Okay. Oh, there's another guy over here. Everybody likes to eat. Is it something that's necessary? Absolutely. God made it this way to where we needed sustenance, we needed nurturing in that way, that we had to have food, ingest food into our bodies so that we could continue. And thank you, Heather. And I was thinking the other day about sleep as well. He even talks about that in God's Word, that He gave us sleep as a gift to help restore and rest. Our bodies need that rest as well. So Mark is going to share an eating story with us. Okay. And part of why I think I did this morning, this was not just, it was off the cuff. Yes, it was. Could be Holy Spirit led. I believe that too. I read somewhere this last week, the church, now some of you older folks maybe in the church a while, there used to be more testimonies given in church. Do you remember that? Maybe a communion service? Dean is nodding his head, yes. Where there was a communion service, and then after the communion service or during, somebody would get up and give a testimony. Right, several. We as a local congregation and churches, church families, have gotten away from the testimonies. So maybe a part of why I'm doing that this morning, there's a testimony to an eating story. So now I've got to point to Jesus too, right? All right, I know Mark will do that.
As I was a younger man, and we'd always go to my grandmother's house for Sunday dinner, mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And then back down to my grandmother's house in southern Winkler, Manitoba.
Yeah.
And all the time there were so many of us there, the men always ate first, and they would say their grace before they ate, and then once they were done eating, they thanked God again.
Yeah.
And then the children would eat,
yeah.
And the ladies were constantly doing dishes, making sure everybody could eat, and staying round and round and round. And then finally the women would eat, but if they needed something to the table or anything, they'd have to get up and get it themselves because nobody did.
That's the way it did. The way it was. Yeah.
But just one of my greatest memories from growing up in Canada, going into Canada.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah. Sounds like a Hutterite community.
Yeah,
yeah, right? Because that is kind of the tradition, where men will eat first and the ladies will serve them, and then the ladies will eat in a separate place, yeah. Any other stories that you want to share, testimonies of God's grace in your life? Eating stories can be a funny one too if you want. Okay, nobody, all right. I think if you want to, oh yeah, you're forcing him to raise his hand. No, we won't force anybody. All right. Thank you for that. In this passage, we see first the invitation. Jesus invites. He was always inviting people to a meal. And he uses the table as a place of grace, inviting sinners and demonstrating mercy and revealing the heart of God in and through that time. So he calls Matthew. He's tax clear. And what I find interesting is Matthew, the book Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, was written by Matthew, the tax collector. So Matthew is writing about himself here. That's pretty neat. So Jesus doesn't call him to the synagogue, but he calls him to follow, and they go straight to a meal. He says, follow me. And he follows, and they go right to his house. And of course, if you're a tax collector, In this society, in the first century, when the tax collectors, they were typically Jewish people, okay, who are collecting taxes amongst the Jewish folks, and often collecting too much or way over what they were supposed to collect for the Romans. Okay, they're employed by the Romans to collect taxes on the Jewish people, charging them more than they should. Remember Zacchaeus? That's what he did. Okay? So Matthew hears the call and the invitation on his life from Jesus, come follow me. And he follows. So if Matthew is a tax collector, who are his buddies? The tax collectors. The sinners. Because they did not like these tax collectors. They were on the totem pole of people. Those tax collectors were down, way down here. Okay? And yet, hey, you got to come and see this guy. Come to my house. He's coming for a meal. Come and see. And so they gathered at Matthew's house to eat a meal, to hear what Jesus had to say. So he invites sinners to his table. All are welcome at his table. We're all sinners. We're all welcome. We all fall short of the glory of God and of his grace, and yet no one is too gone for grace to reach them. The table becomes a space, if you think about it in your own lives, the table becomes a space where the unworthy, which is all of us, are welcome. We also see that it's a table of friendship and relationship, but it's also a table of grace. Verse 11 tells us, when the Pharisees saw this, they're in shock. They asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? So they're judging them. Come on, these people are no good. They're low on the totem pole. And they're judging them and saying, what's he doing, this teacher, this rabbi of yours? What's he doing eating with these people? He should be eating with good people. They're offended. When you think about it, to eat with someone was to accept them. So Jesus ate with them to really tell them, hey, you're accepted. Come on in. You can eat here. You're welcome. So use the shared meal to show that righteousness isn't just doing the right thing and following all the rules, but is about receiving the right one. And Jesus from Revelation chapter 3 says this, here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. So eating here means the gift of salvation in and through Christ. I remember when guests would come to our house, my mom would make sure that they ate, and she made sure that they ate a lot. She was famous for her cookies, as Rhonda is with hers. But she would make sure, whether it was that day or the next day for breakfast, made sure if they were leaving that day, that morning, breakfast was on the table, ready and waiting for them. And so this was a gift of hers, that she was hospitable, and so she would make sure food was one of her love languages, I think, and she made sure that people knew that and were blessed by that. So Jesus, the friend of sinners, welcomes sinners to eat and to dine with him. If we're to eat like Jesus, then the table of fellowship and the table of relationship and the table of grace also becomes a table of mercy. Listen again to the text. On hearing this, it's not the healthy, Jesus said. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous but sinners. So Jesus responds with a proverb and with an Old Testament scripture. It's not the healthy who need a doctor but the sick. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So he quotes Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, God values mercy. The word for mercy there is chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, chesed. That's the way they said it, which means loyal love over ritual correctness. God is not after your outward behavior, but he's after your heart. We do righteous things because he, the righteous one, gives us a new heart. The church isn't a club for the righteous, but a table for the broken. Think about that for a moment. The church isn't a club for the righteous, but it's a table for the broken. And how many times in the past have we as a church family broken bread together? And why do we do that? And why about a year and a half ago did Rhonda suggest, well, let's have a spot, a place for people to come after the service to catch up. Because, you know, when you don't usually get the time to do that before the service, because you're coming and you're sitting, you're getting ready to worship, you know, and getting ready for the service and things, and you're praying and different things like that. You don't get a lot of time to visit. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you stay in the sanctuary, you'll notice there's a few folks that kind of hang out together. That's your part of catching up for the week. How you doing? See, that's the thing about being a part of a family, the family of God here, is what's important is showing the person that is a part of the family that you care for them. Hey, how you doing? How's your niece doing? How's your health? You know, it usually comes around to that, doesn't it? How's your health? Hey, that job that you were, how's your job going? How are your kids? How are they doing? How are they doing in school? School's coming up now, I know that. But you're asking questions, you're trying to get them to talk about themselves so that maybe you can be a blessing to them and encouragement to them, maybe even pray for them or pray later about that need or that situation. And so that's why we go and have cookies and stuff. If you hang around after the service, that's what we're going to do. And there's two main items on the list for today. Brownie bites, which I know is your favorite, and Rice Krispie bars, which I know is your favorite. So after the service, join us as a family when we gather in that place and share stories. Share stories, share testimonies, and share your lives with each other. Why are you doing this? Okay, I don't know. So I'm convinced, this is a quote from the book Bless. I've showed it to you, B-L-E-S-S. Each letter stands for something. Today it stands for E, which is eating. Good. This is a quote from the book. I'm convinced that eating with someone is one of the most powerful ways you can bless your neighbors and change the world. I'll read that again. I'm convinced that eating with someone is one of the most powerful ways you can bless your neighbors and change the world. I believe that as well. In fact, let me tell you a little story. And I think she'd be okay with me telling it. Probably should have asked before, but that's okay. You can always ask forgiveness later, right? Okay. Kathy and Kevin have been a part of this church for over 20 years. Part of that, I'm just saying part of that, I know that her daughter came to VBS, but part of that was, do you remember when the city of Grand Forks would make available to you to partition off the road on both sides, let's say it was a street or an avenue, where the cars couldn't come through. And then you, as neighbors, could barbecue together and have a meal together, a shared meal. And the city provided cups, plates, I think napkins. I don't think they provided the drink. Maybe they did. I don't know. They used to do this. We'd need to call the mayor and ask him to do it again, right? Okay, so then this particular day, partitioned off Chestnut. Are they on Chestnut? Rick? Where's Rick? You're on Chestnut? Okay. Partitioned off Chestnut. I don't know if, were you there? Okay. We had a meal together because Rick lives over there, sharing with one another, getting to know each other. We had come over from 9th Street, South 9th Street, and we got to meet Kevin and Kathy. And I don't think it was us, but somebody else may have invited them to Bethel. They came. And they've been here ever since. That's the power of eating together as neighbors. And I don't think we do it enough. I think we could do it more. But let's think about that in our own lives. So one of our missionaries is Dave Narveson. Dave has a wife and family. Dave Narveson, he said this about eating. He said, in our humanness, I think we often equate the daily bread we have been given to being to be something that has been earned. We worked hard for the money that bought this food but put before us, so why shouldn't I decide who is worthy enough to partake in what I have? I should eat and share what I have with my friends, my family, with those I deem are worthy to receive it. What I have has not been earned, but given to me by God. And he said this. With Jesus, on the other hand, he went out of his way to show that the message of the good food found in him is not for those who consider themselves worthy, but for those who are just plain hungry. I tell you, there's people, our neighbors, our friends, our family members, there's people that are so hungry and thirsty. They may not even know it, but we can see it in their lives. We know it. So we have a chance to point them to Jesus. Every Tuesday night, a couple from a small church opens their home for dinner. They call it the table. There's no agenda, no Bible study, just a home-cooked meal and an open invitation. Neighbors, co-workers, single parents, college students, and even a few folks experiencing homelessness have shown up over the years. One Tuesday, a man named Derek came. He was new to town, recently divorced and struggling. He didn't know anyone and had no interest in church. But when he heard there was a place with free food and kind people, he decided to check it out. He came back the next week and the week after. Months later, Derek said, "I don't remember what we ate, but I remember how I felt, seen, heard, and loved." Eventually, Derek started asking questions about Jesus. Not because someone handed him a tract, but because someone handed him a plate. Jesus used meals not only to feed bodies, but to open hearts. He shared tables with sinners, skeptics, and saints alike. Today, eating like Jesus means creating spaces at our tables where people can experience grace and conversation and connection often before they experience conversion. So in the early church, Acts chapter 2, in the early church, Pentecost has come, the Holy Spirit has come. Right at the end of that chapter, beginning with verse 42, it talks about the people that would gather together and what they did together because of Jesus, because of the gospel. So the early church, what happened as they devoted themselves to the Word of God and broke bread together? It says here that in Acts chapter 2, everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They saw God at work in their midst. They were amazed by Him and what He was doing. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, possessions, and they gave to anyone who had need. Because of Jesus, they loved those around them, and they looked for opportunities to touch people who had a need, and they were generous. Every day, it says, every day they met together in the temple courts. And this is what they did. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The writer to the Hebrews admonishes us as well. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. That hit me just the other day. I think Rhonda pointed it out. Do not give up meeting together. You all are meeting together. You're not giving that up because you're here. But some are in the habit of doing that. They're not meeting together. And we got to go looking for them. I got to go looking for them because they're not coming. So I need to go find them. Maybe it starts with a meal. I don't know. Every day they met together. They asked questions like, hey, how you doing? What's up with your kids? How's your health? How's the job going? I want to know. I can't know unless we eat together. Unless we get together, I won't know. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God for who He was and is. And what was the result? They enjoyed the favor of all the people. Not just some people. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. The early church received Jesus, and then they lived out their lives as an outflow of the grace and love of God. And what was the result of that? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you. What a powerful way to spend time with people over a meal. God, would you open our eyes to see those around us and help us to reach out to them and love them and point them to the kingdom, point them to Jesus Christ. Thank you for feeding us today, Holy Spirit, through your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.